How many of you have thought already, you know, I would love for 2013 to be different and better than 2012? Have you thought that? But the thing is, how? All right. And last week we talked about, you know, that God wants this year to be a year of new beginnings. But the question is, how? All right. Because how many of you know that just wishing something doesn't cause it to take place? You know, I wish I was a great golfer. It hasn't happened yet, all right? But there is a way that God wants to do that. And we've got a wonderful opportunity today. We've got a guest speaker that's going to be with us. And when he began to share with me what was on his heart, I believe this is kind of the part of, and I was going to be sharing along some of these lines, of how are we going to get to where God wants us to go, all right? It's with Him. And what we just heard sung is that we have a desire, Lord, I need You. All right. He is the all-sufficient one. You are the insufficient one. Okay. But we've got a guest speaker, Pastor Jeff Hidden, from Atlanta, Georgia. Jeff and his wife Pippa have been friends of my wife and I for, goodness, I guess, 25 years or so. We met actually at Oral Roberts University. One of Pastor Jeff's claims to fame is he's maybe the only pastor I know that's taller than me. All right. And we've kind of, both of us as couples, we've walked a lot of similar paths, traveling ministry, helping other ministers. He and his wife founded a wonderful, wonderful church kind of on the northwest side of Atlanta. Church a lot like Miracle Life in that, Pastor Jeff, there's over 20 nations represented, I believe, from all over the world in that church. His wife is, she is from Zimbabwe, native of Zimbabwe, and he was there visiting his family, and for year after year we've tried to kind of work out, would love to come and minister here, and so we finally got that to work out. So he's going to come, and I want you just to open up your hearts to him and his ministry, and I've said this before, but please, the best way to welcome a guest minister is not through a hand clap. You can clap your hands, but it's not to waste 10 minutes to decide, do I like them or not? Do I like his shoes? Why isn't he wearing a tie? Just open up your heart to the Holy Spirit is the teacher, right? And he uses different vessels. So let's open up our heart. Let's welcome Pastor Jeff Hidden. Jeff, would you come?
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. You want proof? Come up here, Pastor Walker. You know what that means? That means the revelation hits me before it hits him. No, I really appreciate Walker and Haley. We did meet at Oral Roberts University. Pastor Haley and I, we graduated in 1988. It took a whole another year for Pastor Walker to graduate. He graduated in 89. So I don't know what that means, but no, I have been incredibly impressed with Pastor Walker and Pastor Haley over the years, seeing what an incredible work God has done in them and through them. I mean, you realize that you have one of the best churches in the world right here in Lusaka, Zambia. Amen. You realize that it's a result of the surrender, the yielding, and the humility in the approach that your pastors have towards God and having the grace to obey what God said, going above and beyond their ability. That's the reason why you have this incredible church here in Lusaka. I believe that Pastor Walker and Haley deserve a huge round of applause from you to them. Can you give them a great big hand clap? It is a joy to be here. Greetings from America and also my wife Pippa and the family. They are in Zimbabwe. We met at Christ for the Nations. I was there in ministry. She was there as a student. And we've got an incredible family and I'm so blessed to be here. And so are you ready to kick off what could be the best year of your entire life? Yeah. Come on, let me ask you again. Are you ready to kick off what could be the best year of your life? All right, well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the great teacher. Lord, right now we just pause and we turn our hearts completely to you. God, this morning, we are not interested in some speech given by some tall American guy. We're not interested in getting some more information about the Bible. But God, what I am praying is that this morning there will be a divine impartation made within every heart that's here today and those that may listen to this message later on. An impartation that literally changes us and sets us up for victory in 2013. In the name of Jesus, if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Today we're going to talk about the gift of grace. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we all had Christmas. They have Christmas here in Zambia. And you all give gifts and we unwrap gifts. There's one thing I've learned about God, and that is He loves to give us gifts. One of the biggest revelations that I've received over the last several years, recent years, is that God is a loving Father, and I'm His Son. Up until recent years, I was real comfortable with God, my master. He's up there on the big throne, and I'm His little servant, and I humbly crawl into the presence of God with great reverence and great fear to get my next assignment from the master. Until recently, God has showed me by the power of the Spirit that even before He's a master God, He's a loving Father. For God so loved us that He sent His Son, not His CEO, not His executive, not His assistant pastor, but His Son as a loving Father, so that anyone who believes on Him shall not perish but have eternal life. My visions have turned from seeing God on some throne, surrounded by angels, and me crawling to Him, to every morning, waking up, saying, good morning, Father. And seeing Him right there with me, with His arm around me. Just now, before I got up here, His arm around me said, you go get Him. Go get Him. Go. So you're going to get it. But a loving Father. Well, as fathers, how many fathers we have here today? As father, two? We got two fathers? How many fathers we have here today? Okay, these kids come from somewhere. All right. As loving fathers, we love giving gifts. And the same thing about our loving Heavenly Father. Now, the gifts that God gives us are gifts that money can't buy. He's a supernatural God, so therefore He gives us supernatural gifts. And today we're going to talk about the gift of grace, which is one of the most incredible gifts that God gives us. Now, when you talk about grace, the first thing that mostly comes to people's mind is the saving grace. So we all know that we're saved by grace. And in most people, that's where it stops. And we're familiar with saving grace. And we're also familiar with the forgiving grace. And we see that here in scriptures. You don't have to turn them. We're just going to read this. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by the grace of God you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. What's a gift? The grace that enabled you to be saved. Can I hear at least one amen?
Amen.
And then a lot of us, well, hopefully all of us, are real familiar with the forgiving grace. Romans 5:20. The second part says, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. In other words, there is nothing you have ever done or will ever do that will outreach the grace of God. Nothing. For some of you, that's why you came today. You need to begin the year realizing that anything you've done in 2012 doesn't go farther than the reach of grace in your life. And God forgives, He covers. And I love this aspect of grace. I love the forgiving. I need this forgiving grace on a regular basis. Y'all looking at me real holy. Anybody else need the forgiving grace? Some of y'all sinned on the way to church today. Y'all get in the car, yelling at you. First, you're in the car, but your wife's not. So you get all upset with her because she's all late. Then the kids come, they're pulling hair, they're screaming. You're yelling at each other, you're getting all angry at each other. But when you drive on the parking lot, you get out of the car. Oh, hallelujah, bless God. Someone asks you how you doing. I'm anointed, blessed God, walking in victory. Yeah, we know. We know. Some of y'all send, some of y'all are laughing because some of y'all sinned after you got to church. You came here and you had to wait in line to check in your child, got all upset with the children's ministry, walked into the sanctuary, the usher didn't let you sit where you wanted to sit because ushers try to gather you together to bring an atmosphere conducive more to life change. So they try to usher you into a seat and you think, who are they? They the ones in charge. That's who they are. And some of y'all got upset. Some of y'all got upset because a visitor sat in the chair you've been sitting in for 12 years. How many are grateful for the saving and the forgiving part of God's grace? Some of y'all sin because I'm calling you out and you're like, who's that guy? Just repent. Amen. Clear your heart. God's grace, forgive, and then let's go on. So we have this understanding that God saves us by grace. He forgives us by grace. And that is one of the, obviously, the most important part of God's grace. But it does not stop there. There's more to this gift of grace. For Christmas, we got my boy, 7-year-old boy, one of these helicopters that flies. You know, what do they call those? Electronic remote control helicopters. And so I get the helicopter, we unpack it, and we start flying around. I didn't know it could go backwards. I didn't know that lights turned on. There were so many more things about that helicopter that I didn't even know when I first got the helicopter. And the same thing about grace. There's so much more about God's grace than what people walk in. And so today we're going to talk about different aspects of God's grace so that we can walk in them. So let's just write down the definition of grace or the Greek word for grace. I know you probably know this, but let's go ahead and write it down. The Greek word for grace is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, charis. And it means gift, favor, benefit. And I love what it says here. The divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in one's life. When you put your faith in God, He divinely influenced your heart by grace so that you could be called the son or daughter of God. It's this divine influence. This is this favor or this gift upon our hearts. And when we receive salvation, it's because we put our faith in God and this grace comes. But today we're going to talk about some different aspects. So turn with me in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Grace is this gift. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. It's this favor. It's a divine influence upon the heart. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul's writing this letter to the Corinthians, and this is what he says about grace. He says, but by the grace of God, everybody say grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. It doesn't say by the grace of God, I'm saved. Now, we know he was saved by grace. But now he's saying the same grace that saved me has actually caused me to become who I am today. Well, who was Paul? Paul wrote the New Testament. Paul was stoned to death, got up and walked back into the city of the people who stoned him. They throw him in prison. He writes an epistle. Paul is one that is highly respected. And what he's saying is, I am who I am because of this thing called grace. I'm not just saved by grace, but I have become. The person you admire, the person that you look to and say, oh my gosh, how could Paul do all those things? It was by God's grace. In Ephesians 3, verse 7, it says, of which I became, now Paul talking again, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the, what? Grace. Come on, everybody say grace. I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. What you see when you study grace is you see God's power showing up. In fact, what I want to do, I want to give you a definition of grace that I think will help us understand the other aspects of grace. So I want you to write this down. Grace is God's ability and enabling power to go beyond your own natural ability. Grace is God's ability, and enabling power to go beyond your own natural ability. So when it says you're saved by grace, you weren't saved by your own ability. God's ability. He gave you His empowerment and ability to be changed on the inside, to give you a brand new spirit, to join His spirit with your spirit, and gives you that gift through His power for eternal salvation. And I believe we understand. I mean, we don't really understand that, but we know that, that's God's grace. Well, the same power that comes in to save us is the same power that comes us to help us become all that God's called us to become. And so many other aspects. And we're going to look at three here today. But turn to John chapter 1. I want you to see this. John chapter 1. Grace is God's ability, His enabling power to go beyond our own natural ability. And in John chapter 1, we're going to read verse 14 and verse 16. We're just laying the groundwork here, and then we're going to look at three aspects of grace that I believe as we walk in, we can have the best year that we've ever had in our lives. John 1 verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is speaking of Jesus. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now skip over to 16. For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. When we receive Jesus, we receive the fullness of Jesus. And the Bible says from that we receive grace upon grace. Now why doesn't it just say grace? Because in the ancient Greek, whenever you use this form of writing, grace upon grace, love upon love, whatever, it denotes the completeness of grace. All of grace. Grace upon grace. Grace in more grace. Grace in abundance. Grace in completeness. Now, when I was studying this, I thought of my son, and if someone could help me get that get those things there. I thought of my son. My son's seven. He just turned seven in December. And in fact, we got a picture. I believe we have a picture. See my son? He just happens to be standing by the tiger fish I caught last week. 3.7 kgs. Amen. Anyway, that's my little guy right there. His name is Josiah, and he's seven. And he loves this stuff called, we call it whipped cream. You call it grand dessert. And I've noticed y'all don't even use much of this. I wouldn't either if it, because it costs a lot of money. But anyway, in the States, if you ever go, get some of this. Don't buy it here. But in the States, you get this thing. And so my son, he loves this type of dessert. And what you do is you spray this on your desserts, your puddings, or whatever. So I need a volunteer. The guy in the white. Can you come up here? Little guy in the white. Come on. Come on up here. You're gonna stand in the place of my son here. All right? Come on up here on the stands here. How old are you? Sorry? 14. Okay, my daughter's 14. All right? I'm glad she's not here because you're a good-looking guy. All right? All right, hold this plate and hold the spoon over the plate. Now, what happens is after we eat dinner or supper in America, they get some kind of treat or snack. Well, one day my son discovered the whipped cream in the can. So all he wanted was whipped cream. So what he'd do is he'd come with a spoon and I would, hold the spoon up, I would spray whipped cream on his spoon. Go ahead, you can eat that. Go ahead, you can eat that. Okay, and so, well, my son just puts it all in his mouth, all right? And, okay. And then, of course, after he eats that, what does he do? He wants more. So I was like, you know, I'm a loving father. I love my son. And so, you know, I give him more. And so I put more on the spoon. And he does that. So now watch this. When God says that when we receive Christ, we receive grace upon grace, He doesn't just fill the spoon. Don't eat it. He gives us grace. Hold this down. He gives us grace upon 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 grace. Grace, I'm sorry. Upon grace, He gives the whole can to his son or his daughter. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Grace upon grace. Okay, you can go and eat that if you want. Grace upon grace. When we go to God and ask for grace, He doesn't just... He just pours it on. The completeness, the fullness of Christ and His power divinely influences our lives in order to do all that He's called us to do. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. This is God's ability and His enabling power that is in us in order for us to go beyond our natural ability. His power. I want you to see grace as God's power. Not just His forgiveness, not just His saving, but this is enabling empowerment that comes within the believer. In Acts chapter 4 verse 33, we see how this shows up in the apostles' lives. And it says this in verse 33, and with great power, everybody say power. Come on, everybody say power. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace. Everybody say grace. Great grace was upon them. So power was moving through them because grace was in them. Do you see this? And so in our lives, power shows up as a result of grace. The things we saw the apostles do in the New Testament are all a result of God's divine influence, His grace, His power and ability within the disciple to go beyond their ability to establish the New Testament church. And that grace continues to be given, His power, His ability inside of you to do things that you can't even dream of resides within you. And let me put it to you like this. How many of you have heard of Michael Jordan, greatest basketball player ever to live? Amen. If you agree with that or not, raise your hand. You know Michael Jordan. Okay, Chicago Bulls. All right, back in the day, Michael Jordan, he's the best player ever. What if I came up to you, what would you think if I would be able to say, we found a scientific means to take Michael Jordan's ability and place it within you? So now, maybe you're an average basketball player or no basketball player at all, but now you have Michael Jordan's talent and ability within you. So now you couldn't dribble. Now you can dribble all sorts of ways. Before you couldn't even jump up and touch the net. Now you can jump from the free throw line and dunk the basketball. Hallelujah. And it's not you. It's because we put Michael Jordan's ability in you. And so if you had that, you could go straight to the NBA, try out for any team, and make that NBA team. And they say, how do you do that? Well, I couldn't do that, but these guys put Michael Jordan's ability within me, so that's why I can dunk the basketball, that's why I can be the MVP, because I have his ability. Well, listen, when you receive Jesus, you don't get the ability just to dunk the basketball, you get the grace upon grace, the fullness and the completeness of the maker of heaven and earth. So things that you couldn't do before, now you realize that ability is within you. So now you find yourself doing things with great power and great influence and reigning in life. So get your notes ready. I'm going to give you three things in closing. I'm going to give you three things that grace can enable you to do. Three aspects, three reflections. How does this grace show up? Number one, write this down. There is a grace to reign in life. There is a grace to rule and reign. There's a grace to live in victory. There is an ability. God's power comes inside of you and causes you to be the reigner in life, to have dominion in life. So turn with me. We see this in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. How many want to rule and reign in life? Come on. How many want to rule and reign in life? I want to be above and not beneath. And what we're finding here is God gives you an ability in order for that to happen. 2013 is your year to reign. Now, you're not going to do it in your own ability. Some of you have been trying it in your own ability forever, and you get frustrated, and your business doesn't take off, and your relationships aren't working out, and you don't have victory in your life. It's because you haven't unwrapped this aspect of grace. You're forgiven, but you're not enabled. You're saved, but you're not empowered. Because we have faith. You don't just walk down the road one day and bam, saved. No, you go to God, you humble yourself and say, God, I put my faith in you. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. And I believe he died on the cross for me. And so that releases this grace to empower you to become something. So the same way I receive grace to get saved is the same way I receive grace to rule and reign in life. And we see this in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if, because of one man's trespasses, death reigned through that one man, speaking of Adam in the garden. Much more will those who receive the abundance of what? The abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So because of the fall, we couldn't reign. But because of Jesus, he can grace us to reign. Sickness, disease, virus, I don't have to submit to that. I can reign over that because Jesus paid the price and he graces me to overcome and reign. The economy, wherever you live, whatever the economy is, God can grace you to have victory and reign in whatever economy you live in. That deserved a bigger amen. Amen. You can rule. You can reign. This also includes living in victory over fear through the grace of God. Victory over sin and temptation. I'm tired of people say, well, I just can't do that. You know, it just kind of runs in my family. My daddy, he was addicted, and my granddaddy, he was addicted. So it just kind of runs in the family. Listen, there's no addiction that outreaches the power and enabling of God and Jesus Christ that you cannot use to break in your life. This is the year that you appropriate God's grace to break any habit, no matter how long you've had it. Any family curse can be broken by the grace of God. It's his power. It's his ability. And so many times we hear messages on grace solely about the covering of sin. And whatever you do, God covers them. That's true. But grace doesn't just cover. Grace enables you to stop sinning. You don't believe me. So we're going to turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Grace enables you to reign over things that you can't reign over by yourself. And so if you're like me, there's things for years. I don't know if you, maybe I'm the only one. I say, God, okay, I'm so sorry I did that. I'll never do that again. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you. I cast you, I bind you, blood of Jesus. Yeah, I'll never do it again. 2 weeks later, where am I? Doing it again. And so in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Thank God for the saving grace of God. Thank God for the forgiving grace of God. But it doesn't stop there. It continues and it says, training us to renounce ungodliness. What does? Grace. Grace is training us. Grace is equipping us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives when we get to heaven. Is that what your Bible says? When we get to heaven? No. In this present age. So yes, grace saves me and I'm on my way to heaven. But grace also enables me to reject and renounce ungodliness and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Having an ability within you to live a godly life beyond your own ability. Amen. Some of you, I'm just telling you, some of you, up to this point, you have been held back in life in all that God's called you to do because of sin. Because of some kind of addiction, because of some kind of wrong relationship, some kind of ungodly relationship that you have just accepted. And you've tried to break it off. You've tried to stop. You've tried to quit. And you keep on falling into it. And I believe one of the reasons is because we're not unwrapping the grace that enables us to say no and enables us to live godly. And this is what we do. This is what we do. Let's just take the idea of a man who has a problem with pornography. All right? And so he walks by his computer and he begins to rebuke the temptation. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Get thee behind me, Satan. I command you to loose me and you bind you. I rebuke you. And what are you looking at when you're rebuking the temptation? You're looking at the temptation. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I rebuke you, baby, right there. So when you're rebuking the temptation, your eyes are on the temptation. I don't see that in the Word. What I see is that I go to God and I ask God for His grace, His ability and enabling power to overcome the temptation. And when I'm going to God and asking for grace, where's my eyes? It's on God. It's on His grace. You know how you get Satan behind you? You turn to God. What was it? Satan going to pick up the computer and put it behind you? And when I learned about the enabling power of God's grace in my life to overcome sin, I saw myself rising up in an ability beyond my own to avoid, to put behind, to break habits, to live in victory and rule and reign with an ability beyond my own. 2013 is your year to reign. Just think of what's been holding you back. Turn to God. Stop rebuking. Stop spending all your time praying and rebuking the temptation. And spend that time going after God and receiving with humility the grace of God to overcome. You'll see victory in your life. Amen. All right, the second one. We've only got three. The second one is a grace to get through. A grace to get through. My background is word and faith. My background is anything bad that's on the horizon, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Anything bad happening to me, it was all because of a lack of faith. I began to read the Word of God and find that men and women of God all went through storms. They all went through trials and tribulations and heartaches. Jesus even promises this sort of thing. Jesus went through heartache. Jesus went through times that none of us would want to go through. What I began to see is that instead of removing all the circumstances that I want removed, many times I saw God wanting to grace me through that storm. Remember that story when the disciples were in the boat and it was stormy and they were holding on and Jesus was walking across the lake? The Bible says he was just going to continue to walk across the lake until they called out for him. They were in the middle of the storm. And I began to see that storms in life, they come for all different reasons, but I began to see how God wanted to grace me through things that I was rebuking. Now, I'm not talking about sickness and disease and, you know, things that God, I'm talking about just tough times. Tough times. I'm talking about you working for a company that goes bankrupt and you lose your job. You can rebuke, bind, loose, confess, curse. You can do. You can plead the blood on the company. It's going under, and you're not going to have a job. What do you call that? Storm. And so, too many times in my life, I was trying to avoid. I was trying to rebuke and all that. People do stuff that cause you discomfort and pain. People make decisions, and so God has this grace to enable you to get through the storm. There's a story, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. You know, you probably know the story, and it's been preached a lot. I don't think anyone really totally understands what's going on here, but Paul has this thorn in the flesh. You remember this? And he prays over and over again, God, would you please remove this thorn of the flesh? And God, you know, I don't think anyone knows what the thorn is. I don't. I mean, but I think we can all agree that he didn't want it. Amen? It was something in his life or part of his life that he did not want. Some kind of struggle, some kind of pain, some kind of discomfort, something that he did not want in his life that he didn't like, that he was praying, God, will you take that away? And this is God's response in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. But he said, God said to me, my grace, everybody say grace. Now we know grace is God's ability and enabling power. So my ability and enabling power is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. One way you can look at that is that you're going to see a lot of my power when you're weak, when you turn to my grace. My grace is so much more clear in your weaknesses. Now, I don't go make myself weak so God can show his grace, but I cannot survive in life. I cannot be the husband. I cannot be the father. I cannot be the pastor that God's called me to be. I'm not strong enough to do that. But God's grace enables. And I have found in my own life, in times of difficulty and in challenge, that instead of spending all my time trying to bind and loose and curse and change the circumstance, there are times when God says, I want you to go through, but I'm going to enable you to go through. It's not going to break you. It's not going to set you back. It might knock you down, but I'm going to get you up because you're going to have my ability of grace to get through. Now, Brother Jeff, you just don't understand. I'm the only one saved in my family, and it's so tough. There's a grace to get through. Yeah, but Brother Jeff, you don't understand. I'm the only saved person on the job, and they all swear, and they all steal, and I'm just praying that God would just give me a new job. How about praying for God to give you grace to get through? And maybe God put you there on a mission, on a purpose. You might be the light to the darkness on that job. Stop praying for comfortable situations, and start praying for God's grace to get you through. I heard one preacher say this, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Just keep on going with the grace of God. Come on, just keep on going with the grace of God. I remember years ago, I was in a position, it was like an apostolic pastor along with one other guy over this church. And it was, you know, 2-3 years old. There's just, you know, a couple hundred people in the church. Well, the pastor made some unwise decisions and began to fall into immorality. And so we were called upon, me and in fact it was my pastor at the time, me and Pastor Dennis, we were called into the church to help them. And so at the time I was traveling and I was ministering, I was doing what I'm doing today, I was going all over and I was doing that and quite happy and loved it. But I decided to put that all aside and to step in and help this church, to give the pastor and his wife time to go get restored, and then when they got restored, they'd come back, and then I would happily turn the church over to them. That began one of the toughest seasons of my life. Excruciating. When I lay aside, I come in to help, and I was lied about. I was accused of taking over the church. I didn't even want the church. I was accused of treating people wrongly, and I didn't even talk to them. Being falsely accused, I think, is one of the toughest things to go through. Because you want to rise up, and you want to tell them all the facts, and you want to meet with them, and you want to show them this, and show them that, and all the while, God says, continue to stand in righteousness. And I'm telling you, once I got into that situation, I started praying, God, I'm done. You take this from me. Thou wonderful God. Surely you've got someone else to do this. I'm done. Phone calls in the middle of the night, having meetings with the guy, finding out he's still lying, turning in one cell phone, finding out he has two other secret cell phones, finding this, finding that. I'm like, God, I'm done. I'm gone. I called up the other pastor and said, I'm done. I'm gone. I'm gone. You can do this on your own. He goes, no, you're not. You're not done. I said, it's so excuse. It's starting to affect me. And I was praying it away. Until God got a hold of my life. He says, I've got you there for a purpose. Instead of praying it away, why don't you pray for my grace to get you through? So I turned to God, and instead of spending all my time in prayer trying to figure things out and trying to, if he does this, I'm going to do this and figure all that. I just let that all go, and I said, God, I need your grace. I can't do this. I'm not smart enough. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not anointed enough. I humble myself. I need you. Can I tell you something? It all changed. It was no longer the stress. It was no longer the burden. Because Michael Jordan, Jesus Christ, came inside of me and graced me through. Amen. Some of y'all are losing your basketball games because you're playing in your own ability. And when you get Jesus, you can jump from the full court line, not just the half court. You just jump. You do anything with God's grace. And I look back in there, I'm telling you, some of the most gold, the refining, the strengthening, the carving me into the man God wanted me to happened in that season to prepare me for the future. God's got a grace in order for you to get through. You might want to write this down. It is just as much of a miracle for God to grace you through the storm than it is for Him to calm it. It's just as much of a miracle for God to grace you through the storm than it is for Him to calm it. Number three, this is the last one. There's a grace, there's a God's ability to obtain wealth and a grace to give it. There's a grace to obtain wealth and a grace to give it. You understand that this year could be the best financial year you've ever had in your life. Not in your own ability, but God can grace you with His ability. If I was able to take the wisdom and the business sense of Donald Trump and place it within you, how many know you wouldn't stay where you are for very long? He just thinks, one of the masterminds of business. I pray for his salvation because I want him to build me a building. Amen. Whoever, doesn't matter. But you understand, if you thought like him, you wouldn't be in your position you are now for very long. Right? It's because his ability, Jesus' ability is far more than Donald Trump's ability. And when Jesus comes, he gives you an ability far beyond his in order for you to obtain wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You can turn there if you want, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to read it. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18. One of the most powerful principles in the Word of God is found right here in the Old Testament. And it says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." What's God's grace? His ability and enabling power. So we could say it's he who divinely influences your heart and gives you a power to get wealth. Notice it doesn't say he gives you wealth. Jesus doesn't have money up in heaven. You understand that? We're all praying for money, but he's not in the money-giving business. He's in the power-giving business. And that power shows up through wisdom, through divine favor, being in the right place at the right time. All sorts of things happen through this grace that gives you the power to obtain wealth. But he doesn't have any money up there. And so I just wonder why, and if you, I mean, I've done this. I mean, I've prayed for money. Money cometh in Jesus' name. I mean, I've been there. I've turned to the north. Money! I've turned to these, money! I've turned all over to every spectrum of the earth. Money cometh! The power is God does, the problem is God doesn't have money. What we should be praying is, power cometh! Grace cometh! Wisdom, divine favor cometh! The Bible says that treasures, oil to be desired, are in the tent of the wise. If you're wise, oil to be desired and treasure are in your tent. The Bible says the foolish man spends it. But if you just become wise and you get the grace of God, his divine power that enables you, you have treasure. You obtain wealth through his power. But notice what the purpose of his wealth is, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers. He gives the power to obtain wealth so that he can establish his covenant. How does he establish his covenant? He not only gives you power to obtain wealth, he gives you power to give wealth. And through your giving, buildings are built, missionaries are sent, trucks are bought, literature is printed. So we get this power to obtain wealth, and we all say, glory, hallelujah, praise God. But it's not for your vision, it's for God's vision. God's provision is for his vision. Some of y'all need to write that now. God's provision is for his vision. Some of y'all think you have a business so that you can have a bigger car and a bigger house. God's giving you that business, wants to take it to the next level, only he needs to see it come in one hand and out the next hand. And some of you, it's harder for you to give than it is to receive. Say, I just can't. God, listen, God, come on, some of y'all need to pay real close attention here because God, this is just a confirmation. Nothing new, just confirmation. God has already put it on many of your hearts to give significant offerings to finish this place. And you just can't bring yourself to write the check. And you're toying, we're praying. You've been praying about it for like a year. Can I tell you something? Thus saith the Lord. It's God. And what I have found in my own life is that when God puts something on my heart to give, my flesh doesn't want to give. I have a hard time seeing how giving is going to help. And if I give, I'm not going to be able to do this and do that. But then I can find a grace, a power, an ability to follow through with God in what He's saying with me as I appropriate God's grace to give. Now, can I be honest with you? This last year, 2012, I entered the year thinking with this mentality. You know what? We've been very generous over the years. And we have, my wife and I. We give up to 20% of our income. We'll give our tithe, we'll give offerings, and then almost every year we give 1 month's salary on top of that. And we've been doing that. So 2012, we now have another child in school. And we you pay money, they go to a private school. So now I have three kids in private school. And so I'm just kind of entering the year thinking, you know, we're good with the tithe. I didn't tell my wife, Pippa. I'm just saying, I'm just kind of going into it. You know, one of these years we can just do the 10%. He's still going to pour out the blessings where there's not room enough to contain. That's good enough for me right there. And then we found a building for our church because we have a rented facility. And as we looked at obtaining the building, we need to raise significant money. And I reminded God, remember our little agreement before the year that we just do the tithe thing this year? I just can't say. And so he puts it on my heart to do another 1 month's salary. God, I can't do that. I got three kids now in private school. And I got this and I got that and I just couldn't see it. And then he reminded me of the story in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul's writing the Corinthians. And he says this in verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're just about done here. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace, God's ability and enabling power, that God has given to the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. How did that happen? Verse 3. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even what? Beyond their ability. That's grace. That's grace. God enables you to give beyond what you think you can give. Now when He comes and He asks you to give, is He trying to hurt you? Is He trying to make it that you can't get that large screen TV? Is He trying to make it that you're going to have less? No, He understands it's better to give than to receive. He understands that as we give, it positions ourselves for Him to send blessings upon our life. So He enables you to give. I'm telling you right now, there are people here or listening to this message that God has spoken to you to give beyond your ability, beyond I just can't see. If I do that, how can I do this in my business? Do that. And you need God's grace. Go to God and ask for grace to follow through with the generosity. The same grace He gave the Macedonians is available to us today. The grace to write the check. The grace to give above and beyond what we ever imagined we could give. It's the power of God. I'm excited for you if God's speaking to you. I'm excited for you because I love what's on the other side of giving. So God has an amazing, this year, back to this year, we went ahead and we did give the 1 month salary. We went above and beyond that and gave more to the building fund. I look back, my three kids are still in school. Thank God. Still have my cars. Still have my home. On top of that, we wanted to come to Zimbabwe, Africa to celebrate Christmas. We hadn't been there for 3 years. And when your wife is from another country, you have to go. Skype is nice, but it doesn't really work. It cost me $10,000 to get my family to Zimbabwe, Africa. I'm like, God, whoa. Now, if I would have just did what I thought I should have done, I could probably do the $10,000 to buy those tickets. But we gave anyway. Now, can I tell you something? Through the course of a few events, God has supernaturally provided every dollar needed for us to visit Zimbabwe, Africa this year. I had no idea how he was going to do it, but he did it. Why? God's blessings. The grace to obtain, the grace to give. So we have this grace available to us. It's a grace that saves, thank God. It's a grace that forgives, thanks God, thank God. But it also empowers. It empowers us to reign. It empowers us to go through. It empowers us to obtain and to give wealth. What would your life look like if you started unwrapping the grace of God? What would happen to your marriage? What would happen to your business? What would happen to your parenting? What would happen to the relationships if you began to appropriate the grace to reign, the grace to go through, the grace to obtain and to give? You say, well, how do I get this grace? Well, we've been talking about that. God says, humble yourself. And God pours out grace. Hebrews chapter 4:16 says this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. You just got to go. You got to go. There's no shortcut to grace. You got to go. The New Year's resolution is not, I'm going to make more money. The New Year's resolution is, I'm going to spend more time with God. I'm going to humble myself and say, God, I can't do this. But with your grace, I can. And I'm going to spend more time with God this year than any other year of my life. I'm going to read more. I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to go to him and ask for grace. I'm going to ask for grace. How many of you could use some of God's grace in your life? Let's all close our eyes. I want to close with this prayer. Father, we thank you. Words can't express our gratitude for the saving grace. Now, Father, I'm praying that every person here will go beyond just saving grace and begin to unwrap your enabling grace. And then we'll go to you. And every person here is in a different situation. Some might need that grace to obtain and grace to give wealth. Some might need the grace to go through. And some may here, they need grace to overcome and rule and reign. I mean, I'm just... Some of you here, you're in relationships that are not of God. You know it. If you just pause long enough right now, God would whisper in your ear once again, this is not wise. This is not good. Some of you contemplating business partnerships or have already gotten into business partnerships, that God, you know now, it's not God. You just can't see how you can get out of that. Right now, receive God's grace to rule, to reign, to overcome. Some of you are in business, struggling in your own ability. God wants to give you that grace. Whatever the grace that you need right now, just go to God. And I'm going to pray for you in a minute. Of course, the most important grace is that saving grace. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never experienced God's grace that saves. The truth of the matter is we all deserve to die right now and go to hell for eternity. But anyone that turns to God and humbles himself and say, God, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I choose to make Jesus my Lord. And I receive forgiveness of my sins. When you pray that prayer in faith, that saving grace comes inside of your heart and divinely influencing you in such a way that you are now a child of God. Your past is behind you and under the blood of Jesus. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, never received that grace. And if you are here and you've never done, you know on the inside, something on the inside is telling you what this man is saying is the truth. We want to give you the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you say, I'd like to pray a prayer to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Just lift your hand up right now so I can see where you're at. Just lift your hand and say, I need God's grace to forgive me. I need God's grace. I see that hand. Any other hands? Anybody else? Anybody else? I want to pray a prayer. I see that hand. You're starting off the year. You're going to have the best year ever. Best year ever. Anybody else? Your heart's beating fast, and you're like, man, I just know this. But I can't figure it out. You don't need to figure it out. You just take a step of faith, and you raise your hand and say, yes, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Anybody else? Okay, I see that one. Anybody else? Okay, I see that one as well. Anybody else? And over here. Okay. This is what I want to do. I don't want to just pray for saving grace. I want to pray for all of you to receive the enabling grace of God. And so I want to pray. We'll pray the prayer of forgiveness and receiving Jesus Christ. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, let's do this. If you raised your hand for salvation, will you just stand to your feet right now? Let's do this. This is the most important right now. If you raised your hand, say, yes, I want to be saved. Just stand to your feet. Come on. Stand to your feet right now. You raised your hand. Thank you. You know what gave you the ability to stand? The grace of God. Come on. There's hands up here. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, just stand right there. I love it when I see a man stand. It's the most manly thing you can do is give your life to Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's all. To ask for your grace to save me. I believe in Jesus Christ. And I make him my Lord and Savior today. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for gracing me to be called a son or daughter of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, let's all stand to our feet. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask those who stood for salvation. Some of the church leaders are coming to the front here. I'm going to ask you to come forward. We want to put something in your hands to help you on your journey. If you stood and you prayed that prayer, will you come and join Pastor Walker here? And as you're doing that, everybody close your eyes. I'm going to pray a prayer of grace over your life. How many need the enabling power of God in your life? Hallelujah. You're going to need faith to find your way up here. Amen. God will give you grace to get through. Amen. Don't let this stop you. If you stood to give your life to Jesus, come up now. Don't hesitate. And we have some material that we want to give you. I want everyone just to lift your hands up to the Lord. The grace giver. Just lift your hands, both hands up to the Lord. Come on, just lift them up to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you on behalf of every single person at the sound of my voice. And I am asking you to pour grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. Not just a little bit, not just one spoonful, God. I'm talking about the whole can, God, the fullness and the completeness of Jesus Christ himself to be revealed and unwrapped in every single person's life. Grace to rule and reign. Grace to obtain wealth. Grace to give wealth. Grace to get through. Grace to become all that you called them to become. God's power, God's enabling ability within every single person. Now just receive it. God, we just thank you for grace. God, we just focus on you right now. We thank you as a loving Father. You give us grace. You give us grace. Come on, just receive it right now. Just receive it right now. Have a moment with God right now, the grace giver. God, we humble ourselves before you. We need you, God, like never before. We need your grace. We need your power. We need your divine influence, God. God, I declare breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I declare grace arising to break off relationships, grace arising to obtain wealth, grace arising for divine wisdom and favor and blessings, grace to get through that storm, that person that's wanting to give up, grace to get through, to pick that man up, to pick that woman up, to put their shoulders back and take on the day with the power and the ability of Jesus Christ. I declare it in the name of Jesus. If you receive God's grace, say amen. Amen. All right, listen, on the count of three, we're going to give Jesus Christ a great big hand clap on the count of three. Okay, that comes after two. All right, on the count of three. Now, you're not clapping for the message. You're not clapping for me. That doesn't do you any good. We're clapping for Jesus. Why? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. God's the great I am. He's the grace giver. On the count of three, we'll give Jesus a great big hand clap. Pastor Walker, are they going to go to the side? All right. And then Pastor Walker will close the service. Ready? One, two, three. Give Jesus a great big hand clap.